Good evening and welcome to Open Channel. I'm Susan Mee, your host for our final Open Channel segment of this year. And tonight we have a very special guest, San Luis Obispo Mayor Lynn Cooper. As a final Open Channel, I wish to remind you that we will be off the air for a couple weeks, but we will return the beginning of January with another guest, ASI President Willie Huff. Open Channel is designed with the listener in mind, therefore your calls and comments are encouraged. If you'd like to call in and ask Mayor Cooper a question, feel free to do so. The number here is 544-4640. We'll be on for probably another hour or so, so you have plenty of time to call in and ask a question. Mayor Cooper, I'd like to thank you for coming this evening, and hopefully we'll have a good discussion. As mayor, you've been mayor for a little bit. I assume that you know some things as far as San Luis goes, and you know what the major issues are. As far as next 5 years goes, if you could forecast something, what would you say the major issues are going to be in San Luis Obispo?
Well, Susan, thank you very much. It's certainly a privilege for me to be here this evening, and I look forward to the comments we will receive by telephone, and also have an opportunity to discuss on an informal basis with you some of the many things that take place and that I've had the privilege of being involved in the 2 years that I've been mayor. With respect to your question dealing with what I see as the major issue in the next 5 years, or maybe major issues, would be the fact that the community itself is the county seat, and the city of San Luis Obispo, by virtue of being the county seat, traditionally has been the leader within the county as far as employment, as far as professional attitudes and things of this nature. I feel that the city of San Luis Obispo has really had a lot to offer. But what I see happening in the next 5 years conceivably maybe would be a change in that philosophy and a change in that direction, maybe even to the extent that the city of San Luis Obispo might not be really, in essence, the leader within the county. We are, of course, the county seat. We house the majority of the county offices, and things are headed in a direction that hopefully will encourage the county to continue to be located here. But by the same token, when we talk about the housing issues, when we talk about the expansion for industrial development within this immediate area, within our sphere of influence, within this city, to provide jobs, these kinds of things, I see us maybe lacking some positive stands. And to me, in the next 5 years, that's really going to be the critical issues.
Okay, I think you're talking in essence about growth for San Luis and growing and expanding and becoming industrialized. Do you support the growth management program?
Well, growth management per se, I don't really feel is necessary. I think even the connotation is a little misleading. But however, I am a strong supporter of the fact that we should grow at least 1% to 2% per year. And as recently indicated in our 1980 census, we've only grown about 700 or 800 people in 5 years. So you can see the effect of what has happened by virtue of this restricted use of our properties, restricted development, restricted enticement for ideal companies to even locate here. Frequently, I have presidents and chairmen of the boards of small companies that would love to move to San Luis Obispo that are extremely clean type of industries. They would employ Cal Poly graduates. They would employ people that are already here within our community. These kinds of things, I think, are really we're missing the boat to a certain degree. I think we should really look towards trying to solve that in hopes that we can, number one, have a little more of a balance within our economy, and number two, provide employment for the people who live here, their children, and people who obviously want to live, right? But by the same token, we certainly don't need to encourage growth in excess of that 2% factor.
What do you feel would be an ideal growth rate if you could pick a number and say San Luis should grow by this number?
Well, if we're talking about number, I think you have to kind of relate it to percentages, and mm-hmm. again, that 1% to 2% factor is very comfortable. That would mean that generally we would grow 600 people per year. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly even limits when we start getting at the outer perimeters of that as far as availability of services, sewer services, water service, these kinds of things. But if we continue with a growth of this 700 or 800 people for the next 5 years like we had the last 5 years, I'm afraid that you might not see this city being the leader within the county.
What city would you perceive to be the leader?
Well, that would be a difficult one to say. The mayor of Atascadero will probably be upset if I say Paso Robles, and the mayor of Arroyo Grande might be upset if I say Grover City. I would visualize, at least at the present attitudes, that more than likely, and with the amenities they have to offer, that Paso Robles would more than likely be the community that, mm-hmm. that could very well take this leadership role. And I say leadership role, it doesn't necessarily mean that by growing mm-hmm. that you become the leader. But what it does mean is the fact that you know, we're closing schools. We're probably one of the few cities in California that's closing schools because we're not encouraging the young people to move here. We're not encouraging the young people to stay here. We're not providing them jobs. Therefore, we don't have the young children coming into the schools. And conceivably, you know, again in 5 years, you could see almost to the point of it being a community so restrictive to live in cost-wise that you would not have families and young people coming, and I think that's unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to remind our listeners that you're listening to Open Channel, a public affairs presentation of KCPR, and tonight our guest is San Luis Mayor Lynn Cooper. If you'd like to call in and ask him a question, feel free to do so. The number here is 544-4640. You can call anytime during the next hour. We will be here. You mentioned something as far as education goes and as far as not having the education or the people getting the jobs, the students won't be in schools. What do you think the role of Poly is to San Luis Obispo?
Well, it's one certainly of a tremendous amount of compatibility. I often say in the speeches that I give around at different social organizations and one thing or another that the thing that's asked of me throughout the state most of all is twofold. Number one, can you get me a room at the Madonna Inn? And number two, can you get my son or daughter in Cal Poly? When you tell someone, we just came back from Reno. We went into a store, and we were talking to the people where we were from, and they said, I just had my son down there, and he was unable to get in. Is there anything you could do about getting my son into Cal Poly? He has these grades. He has these qualifications. So for them to have to continually turn away 4,000 or 5,000 students each year is at best a little difficult. I would hope that our system could be redesigned so that they could handle more students. The other side of it is that of the 15,500 FTE that we have here, approximately 9,000 live within the city limits. Our present city limits would still have to be restricted and control the growth within that 2% factor. There would be greater demands on the university to expand, have housing on campus, these kinds of things. I feel that this university is one of the best, and I'm just very excited to be the mayor in a community that has Cal Poly as its neighbor, and we get along very well together.
Something that's come up as far as Cal Poly goes is the idea of having fraternity and sorority houses off campus in kind of a fraternity or sorority row. Do you support this idea?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when I took office a little over 2 years ago, Dr. Baker and I met and discussed this, and that was certainly our goal at that time, and we've been working in that direction.
What is its status now?
Well, the status is that the trustees of the property have to give us the approval. And there are a lot of details to work out, and his office is working in that direction. It's one that I think, number one, would afford the students the type of compatibility that they would like to have with other students. They don't like, I feel, to be in neighborhoods which might be disruptive to the neighborhood concept. And if you put them basically in the same area, they can have a lot of benefits, a lot of things entertainment-wise, educational, sporting-wise, that could be compatible within that neighborhood. And it would afford, there again, the university the opportunity to work with the students and not have them isolated throughout the community in different areas as far as the controls and as far as the, not necessarily the policing, but at least the supervision.
Do you foresee in, say, the next few years then this project coming about, or do you think it's still in the woodwork?
Well, we have a piece of property that's owned by the university in mind, and I would certainly hope that the next mayor, whoever it might be, would continue to work with Dr. Baker and his staff with a thought in mind of accomplishing that. It is something that's realistic. It's something that's used all over the United States. You say, well, what would happen to the sororities and fraternities that are already located within the city? Well, they would be phased out. They would have, certainly if they own their own property, mm-hmm. we're not going to expect them to be mm-hmm. condemned and moved out immediately. The other thought is that you'd be able to build a fraternity or sorority house on a specified piece of property. The alumni and so forth could become involved in the financing. There are just a lot of avenues which would be very attractive, I feel, and certainly would eliminate some of the minor problems that we have in these sororities and fraternities being located in the residential areas of the community.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Cooper. We'll be back in just a minute. I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Open Channel, and we're talking with San Luis Obispo Mayor Lynn Cooper.
The city of San Luis Obispo has a suggestion that can give your holiday spirit a lift. It's meant for you shoppers who are tired of driving all over town, idling through parking lots looking for a space. It's also for people temporarily without a car, and for people who just like people. Actually, this message is for anyone who wants someone else to do the driving and take care of the parking. The idea is to ride the city bus. That's right, the city bus. For only 35 cents, the slow transit buses will take you to any of San Luis Obispo's vast shopping areas. There's half-hour service to most parts of the city until 7 p.m. on weekdays, and on Saturdays it's hourly until 5 p.m. Shopping by bus is not only convenient and cheap, it also gives you a chance to forget about traffic, relax, meet people, or just let your mind wander. Let slow transit help you enjoy the holiday season. For more information, call City Hall at 541-1000.
ASI President Willie Huff will be making a return appearance on Open Channel on Thursday, January 8th. I'm Susan Mee, and I'm inviting you to tune into our first Open Channel of winter quarter, and it should be of interest to all Cal Poly students. Please join me and my guest, ASI President Willie Huff, on Open Channel on Thursday, January 8th.
Welcome back to Open Channel. I'm Susan Mee, your host, and tonight our guest is San Luis Obispo Mayor Lynn Cooper. The number here is 544-4640. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, feel free to do so. We'll be here for about 45 minutes or so. We're talking a little bit about San Luis Obispo having fraternities and sororities. One general question that's along that same subject is housing. Now, there is a problem in San Luis, increasing rent each year for Cal Poly students who wish to live off campus. And once you go outside the city limits, say in Los Osos or Baywood, the rent goes it's a lot cheaper. Do you foresee housing to be a major goal of the council and of San Luis to try to change in the next few years?
Well, of course, housing has been the number one priority in many of the surveys conducted within the city. And certainly an indication that the councils need to constantly address the issues. The supply and demand factor really dictate what is going to happen as far as rents go and as far as availability of housing. It is rather interesting that there's not been any particularly major apartment project built within the last few years. And so therefore, the demand keeps increasing with the same number of units. And the reason that builders are reluctant to build, particularly multiple units, is the fear of rent control. And until some method is put together with which to augment that so that they can feel more at ease, I'm not saying that there should be some types of control, but by the same token, some type of a method wherein builders could feel that they could receive an equitable return on their capital investment. Recently on the ballot in the state of California was that particular issue, and it was defeated, as far as I'm concerned, unfortunately. But nonetheless, once we're able to allow the marketplace to feel more at ease and more a little more comfortable in dealing with building and investing their capital, you'll see more units available. And that would certainly affect what the rates are going to be. Mm-hmm. That's why you can go to Los Osos or you can go to Atascadero. It's because they're allowed to build there. They're not worried about the rent controls, and that marketplace dictates that the rents will be less.
Okay. As far as county areas in San Luis Obispo and the subject of annexation, do you feel we should annex areas and extend urban services, say, out around the airport and increase San Luis Obispo as a city as a whole?
Well, that's, of course, is really a pretty delicate issue to attempt to address. But by the same token, my feeling is that, number one, we have plenty of water. We have sufficient sewer systems presently, and we can offer the opportunity of projects that have merit to be annexed. By the same token, they must fit within those guidelines of those growth controls that I talked about earlier. builders generally do not object to that as long as they know up front what the game is going to be, as long as they know that if they own 20 acres that, in fact, it can be annexed, but that you're only allowed so many homes on it or so many units or whatever the case might be. The biggest problem they're confronted with right today is the total uncertainty that exists in our general plan, the uncertainties that exist with where they can go as far as their projects are concerned. With the passage of Measure G, which now makes it a requirement for any annexation except for public facilities to take into a vote of the people, and that was the desires of this community. I think by virtue of that, again, you're limiting the housing growth. Again, you're stalling what would be probably outstanding housing projects, ones that have tremendous merit, ones that would afford people who presently live here who maybe want to upgrade, the opportunity to upgrade. Again, as long as it's done within those guidelines and within the growth guidelines, I think it should certainly be allowed.
Okay. Let's move to a little bit as far as internal things in San Luis Obispo goes and city works. Now, I don't know if our viewers are aware, but you have decided not to run for re-election in this upcoming March, I believe the election is.
Yes, that's right.
Would you state your reasons why you do not wish to run again?
Well, primarily the reason is this, is the fact that the way that I see that the mayor should be, and his commitment or her commitment time-wise and dedication to the job, is one that makes it difficult to be in business for yourself and continue to really do the job that's and do it properly. I've felt that as mayor of the city, I have made an extra effort to encourage relocations within the community of new businesses, encourage participation in the Business Improvement Association, encourage the activities within the Chamber of Commerce, attend many of these functions, ribbon cuttings, these kinds of things. I think it's all part of the job as mayor. I have no qualms about that. By the same token, there was a tremendous demand on my time because of that philosophy. And my two partners were extremely amenable to me running and being elected mayor. By the same token, it's now time for me to go back to work because I have to repay them, in essence, for the time they've allowed me to dedicate to this job. I've enjoyed it very much. It's been really a great education, although there are certain people within the community would not agree with my philosophy, and that's fine. But by the same token, I like the terminology that's frequently used is that it's all right to disagree, but don't be disagreeable. And I would just hope that more people would use that philosophy.
Are you endorsing anyone publicly for the office of mayor?
Well, until such time as the filing date expires, I think, which is the 24th of December, I would not make that position public because at this point in time, it's a little difficult to determine who actually will be running, particularly for mayor.
Mm-hmm. In essence, there are two people who have said particularly they will run for mayor, and others are for the council in general, and mm-hmm. you would just rather wait until...
That's right. It's kind of a wait-and-see situation. At the present time, there's only one that's actually filed, and that's Councilwoman Melanie Billig. And so by virtue of that, we'll just have to wait and see who else might file.
Okay. You will then make a public statement as to who you endorse then when the filing period is over, or do you wish not to do that?
Well, generally speaking, at least here locally, people who have been in office and then made the decision not to run again have been reluctant to indicate their support one way or the other. But I have a different feeling about it. I think that you should be up front. You should let the public know how you feel about the candidates and who that you want to support. By the same token, I feel that you certainly cannot show any favoritism towards one or the other that would be maybe in essence detrimental to you, to your job and or to the city by virtue of being the mayor. Mm-hmm. You certainly can't show any preference in that area. Mm-hmm. But as far as publicly supporting candidates, I definitely will do that, and that decision will be made at such time as that filing period has expired.
Okay. Some people seem to feel, we have a caller on the line right now. I guess we'll get to that caller. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I do. I was wondering about if Mayor Cooper could tell me his opinion about the firing of Al Settle, and if he thinks it has anything to do with, do you think the city council and the city government in general are going more toward an anti-growth, a pro-growth policy?
Mayor Cooper?
Okay, that's a very good question. Of course, number one, it wasn't a matter of actually firing Mr. Settle. It was a matter of a reduction in the size of the Planning Commission, and it also meant that Rob Rossi resigned, and we then asked Mr. Settle to step down and reduce it, in essence, to 5 members. As far as the trend between growth and no growth or pro-growth, I really feel that when you look at the statistics, they really kind of dictate that, in fact, even though the makeup of the council now maybe is more business-oriented than it has been in the past, that, in fact, the growth has not been any different, nor have any more projects been approved or disapproved than even the previous council. I feel that the members of this council, all 5 of us, have worked very well together. We don't, again, agree on everything. By the same token, we address each issue and then move on to the next issue, and it's been a pleasure for me to work with this council.
Okay, caller, if you'd stay on the line, I'd like to ask a question that's kind of relative to yours. You mentioned a little bit about that it wasn't really the firing of Dr. Settle, but rather you asked him to step down. Hearing that, 2 questions kind of pop in my mind. I don't mean to kind of zoom these in onto you, but I think a lot of people are curious. First of all the council members on the council, why was Dr. Settle the one to ask to resign? And secondly, since 7 has been the number of the Planning Commission for such a long time, why was there such an urgency to reduce it to 5?
Okay, the primary reason for the urgency was a tremendous workload. That Planning Commission has been meeting weekly in order to address the many issues that have been brought forward to them, which is unusual. Normally they would only meet twice a month. Here they're meeting every week. Matter of fact, they even have a meeting scheduled this Saturday. And what we were finding after we met with the Planning Commission and analyzed it was that, in fact, a lot of the delay and a lot of the areas of question that came up primarily were predicated on 7 members. They were each wanting to have their say. And so that was the reason for the decision. That was the reason why we felt if we reduced it to 5, that they, in fact, could work faster, could, in fact, address these issues and hopefully get back on the meeting twice a month schedule.
Okay, what about the reason why Dr. Settle was singled out?
Okay, we felt that in essence we were kind of analyzing my own personal feeling about it, and by the way, sometimes I'm criticized because in fact I'm maybe a little too honest, but my personal feeling about it was the fact that we wanted to keep it balanced, although people insinuated that we didn't. And if you take a architect off, then maybe you should take someone off from the other side of the spectrum.
So that
was my feeling about the decision why it should be Mr. Settle.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that there was quite a bit of thought given to it, and we hope that the end result will be that they will be more effective and hopefully can accomplish the many goals that we want to get accomplished.
Okay. Does that answer your question, caller?
Well, I think so. I was kind of wondering, I just turned on my radio, and
mm-hmm.
maybe I missed it, but if Mr. Cooper could give more of a feel of what he sees in the future for San Luis Obispo as far as more population. I remember reading in the Telegram Tribune that some of the council members had pointed out that we were becoming like, a Carmel Baja, a mm-hmm. place exclusively
yes.
for rich people. And I wondered if Mr. Cooper felt that way.
Okay, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I think you can reiterate your views generally.
Yes, that is a reality, something that is rather alarming, particularly to me. I feel, as indicated earlier, very comfortable with the growth factor of 1-2% per year, and we certainly are not doing that right now. And if we make this such an exclusive place, it'll be difficult for anyone to afford to live here.
Okay, does that answer your question, caller?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, thank you for calling. We're going to take a break right now, but I'd like to remind you that you can call in and ask Mayor Cooper a question, too. The number here is 544-4640. We'll be back in just a moment.
Across the country, there's an exciting activity, a movement to go solar. Water heating, home heating, passive solar design for new homes. Solar technology is here today in systems that are practical, cost-effective, and reliable. To learn more about SunPower and how you can buy solar now, call toll-free 800-523-2929, a public service from the U.S. Department of Energy.
The Shadow is back on 91 KCPR. Every Thursday night at 10 o'clock, relive the best in radio mystery theater, The Shadow. KCPR has the original broadcasts of one of the most famous radio shows in history, Thursdays at 10.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Know the Shadow on KCPR.
Welcome back to Open Channel. I'm Susan Mee, your host, for our final Open Channel segment of this winter quarter. Fall quarter, I guess that's what it is. Getting a little mixed up here with finals and everything. For those of you who just tuned us in, you're listening to Mayor Lynn Cooper, and he's discussing his views about San Luis Obispo and the relationship San Luis Obispo has to Cal Poly and other major issues. If you'd like to call in, feel free to do so. The number here is 544-4640. One issue that I think we should talk a little bit about is something that the reason why you wanted to resign from being mayor, and that was because you felt you had a conflict of interest. You needed to spend more time with your partners, and you just didn't have the time as far as doing mayor duties you needed to do. Do you feel there's a lot of people, you named the architect, who had a conflict of interest on the planning commission? There are some people on the council who sometimes have conflicts of interest. Do you view this as a big problem?
Well, I think that it's, you know, an issue that's a lot of people like to address because it, in fact, kind of creates a good copy, or at least copy, for the news media. By the same token, I really feel that even the connotation, the conflict of interest, is certainly over-exemplified. And when I see it being mentioned, I don't know of a case that a council member, if in fact there was any area, even the planning commission also, any area that was even questionable, they normally consult the city attorney, Mr. Thatcher, who does an outstanding job, and if in fact he feels that there is even a slight possibility of a conflict, he'll tell them, the person, and then they'll step down. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of measuring it in that area. By the same token, people who are not business people and or who are not property owners would almost feel that almost anything would be a conflict if mm-hmm. you voted on it. Mm-hmm. So you
really can't
that.
Then have people who are just full-time councilmen. Anybody is really probably going to have a conflict in some area. That...
Well, but it's the magnitude of the conflict, uh-huh. I think, that's what's important. And I don't just all five members of that council, I feel we've acted in the last 2 years in a very prudent manner. And if there was ever even a slight question, they would step down.
Okay, we have a caller on the line right now. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay, the question I have is, the other night at the council meeting, the members of the city council turned down a federal grant application for about $1.5 million to improve the sewer treatment plant. And I understand that it's operating presently in violation of the federal pollution standards. And I just wondered why the council would turn down the grant.
Mayor Cooper?
Well, that certainly is a very good question. Number one, it is in violation of the Clean Air Act. And number two, the reason it was turned down might have been the fact that there was only four members there to vote on it. I was, unfortunately, was out of town. I'm very supportive of us receiving that grant and getting our sewer plant and sewer facilities upgraded. Some of the questions that came up, I understand, dealt with the fact that the city should not accept federal aid, these kinds of things. This is one federal aid, I think, that we really should accept, and it's one that we should address and be prepared to use. I would like to feel that we are always in proper tune with the Clean Air Act, of all things, in a community that's so environmentally oriented as this community is. And to think that it's going on in violation bothers me.
Okay. Caller, if you'd like to stay on the line, I have a question that's kind of relative to yours. Since that has been voted down, the grant, I have two questions as far as, are we going to clean up our sewer system? And secondly, if we are going to do so, where are we planning to get the money from?
Well, that's the thing. There's not the capital funds available to upgrade it to meet those requirements as specified in that Clean Air Act. And so we would have to look to a grant program. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that it probably will be coming back to the council for further consideration, and hopefully all five of us will be there that night, and I would hope that we can get it passed.
So you're telling me the reason it was voted down is because there wasn't a quorum?
No, there was a quorum, but at any time that the vote is 2-2, it's the same as a no vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the outcome of that vote, and I understand that one of the members that voted no was of the opinion that if certain additional information was submitted, that they, in fact, would change their vote. So hopefully when it comes back, we will then have the majority of the council in favor of it.
Okay. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, it does. I would just like to state that I'm 100% in back of the mayor in trying to make our sewage treatment plant meet the federal pollution standards.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
All right. Bye-bye.
We have another caller on the line. I'd like to get to that caller, too. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
I wanted to ask Mr. Cooper, what is being done to improve the relationships between students and residents?
Residences?
Well, I think residents.
Residents, okay. Well, I think that the thing that's really had the most input on improving the relationship has been the students themselves. We've seen a tremendous improvement in attitude just within the last year or so. Students identify with the fact that they need to be compatible if they're going to be allowed to reside through sororities and or in individual housing in R1 areas. And we find now that the police department is receiving fewer and fewer calls. We do periodically get them. We're not so naive to think that either. But between the cooperation of the university and the cooperation between the students and the police department, we're finding that it's really been a tremendous improvement.
Okay.
I'm very pleased to report that, by the way.
Okay, caller, if you'd like to stay on the line, I have just one other question as far as that goes. I've heard from various people that perhaps students in San Luis Obispo are the most discriminated against, just not racially, but just students in general. In other words, if you're a Cal Poly student, merchants in San Luis Obispo seem to have policies against you or different things as far as General Telephone, Pacific Telephone, saying, well, if you're a student, we require this deposit, things like that. Do you really feel that San Luis in general is doing anything to change this policy around, to educate that one of the main reasons that San Luis does so well is because of Poly students, and if we weren't here that, you know, things in San Luis wouldn't be as healthy?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the economic viability of the community certainly is addressed by the university, and there's no question in my mind at all that the vast majority of the businesses within the community identify with that. You can see that by the advertising. You can see that by, you know, the boosters raising over $100,000 in support of the athletic programs. I mean, there's many, many things. I could go on and on. I do agree, however, that historically there's been some trends created when you talk about the phone company or the gas company, and these turn-ons, that if, in fact, quote, you go down to have it turned on, you say, I'm a student, that you might, in fact, have a different, they might have a different approach toward you. But I would hope, and at least my personal experience has been, that when you identify with these utility companies, that it's more or less on an isolated case. Mm-hmm. I think across the board, they have really, for the most part, gone out of their way in order to help students. I've seen them make provisions to turn on water on weekends. I've seen them make provisions to have the gas turned or repaired at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things really beyond the call of duty, knowing that, in fact, the students really add a lot of viability to the community.
Well, then, do you feel there's a general turnaround as far as the merchant's attitude goes?
Oh, I don't know that it's so much a turnaround. I just feel that it's a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was ever that bad, really.
Okay. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
It does. I had one other question.
Okay, go ahead.
Where would we be in another drought, which is very possible?
Okay. Another drought? Let me explain to you a little bit. We have two sources of water. One is the Salinas Dam or the Santa Margarita Lake, and the other is Whale Rock. Last year, for example, we only took 300 acre feet out of Whale Rock, and the only reason for taking 300 acre feet out was that we were repairing the line between Santa Margarita and the city.
Uh-huh.
We have enough water. It was projected the other day that if we had a drought similar to what it was, 3 years ago?
Yes.
That we could go 7 years with the water reserves that we have. So there's a tremendous amount, and the previous council and a previous administration have really made certain that you're taken care of water-wise within this community. It's one that I can't take a lot of credit for, although I feel that I've become very knowledgeable about the water itself. It's something that's been has taken place over the years. But we have Whale Rock Reservoir, which the city of San Luis Obispo has all the water entitlement there. We have Santa Margarita Dam. We also have a vested interest in 17,500 acre feet, a pro rata portion of 17,500 acre feet, and Lake Nacimiento. So even if we had that 7-year drought, we could still have a participation in part of Nacimiento Dam. So we have really a lot of water.
Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling. I think we're going to take a break right now. We should only have about 20 minutes or so left, so if you'd like to call in, now is the time to do so. I'd like to remind you the number here is 544-4640. Feel free to call in the next few minutes or so.
Hello, I'm Sandra Kenny, member of the United States Metric Board, with this public service message. When you fill your gas tank by the liter, you see the total price on the pump. No more confusing half-price arithmetic to contend with. But don't be misled by the low unit price in the pump window. It takes nearly 4 liters to equal a gallon. Questions? The United States Metric Board is here to help you.
Thank you.
Write to us at Box 7700, Washington, D.C., 20044.
Dad?
Yes, son?
Where do I come from?
Well, didn't Mommy ever explain about the stork and how...
Dad?
Yeah.
I mean, who are my grandpa and grandma, and did they have a grandma and grandpa?
Oh, yes, they did. And
so what were their names?
Dad? Yeah.
You don't know, do you?
Oh, I remember now. Back in those days, people didn't have any
Dad?
Names. Yeah.
You don't know, do you?
No.
Alex Haley, the author of Roots, wrote, "In all of us, there is a hunger to know who we are and where we come from. The problem is getting started. And now a unique brochure, free for the asking, tells you where and how to begin. It's called Climbing Your Family Tree, written by the Genealogical Department of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. This free how-to booklet can be yours by writing Family Tree, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150. It's entertaining, informative, and all you have to do is ask for it. Write Family Tree, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150.
Welcome back to Open Channel. I'm Susie Mee, your host for our final Open Channel of fall quarter. Right now we have a caller on the line, but before I get to that caller, I'd like to remind you that you can call in too. The number here is 544-4640. Again, we're talking with San Luis Obispo Mayor Lynn Cooper. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I have a couple of questions.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay, number one, there's talks about closing two more schools here in San Luis, and besides Teach School. And I was wondering, when they do close them, are we the taxpayers, are they going to still be paying taxes on those schools, or
will they get a reduction? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, Mayor Cooper.
Oh, okay, with reference to closing schools, of course, that's a school board decision rather than a city decision. But by the same token, the schools, let's say arbitrarily, if there was a decision made to close another grammar school and or one of the junior highs, what would happen, as I visualize it, is that we would find other uses for those facilities other than school uses, meaning the feasibility of professional offices being located there, and or the concept of some joint recreational use facilities being used there, and then maybe the city or and or the private industries would pay rent to the school district. More than likely, the school districts would not sell those properties. They would probably retain them and then work in conjunction with the city, and we have already met with them and discussed this, the feasibility of using them and us possibly modifying our zoning regulations so they could be used in compatible uses.
Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, okay. And also number two, about the Civic Center, that there's talk about building a Civic Center for a price tag of $18 million. And I was wondering where this money going to be coming from.
Okay. Well, of course, the Civic Center is one of my pet items, and that's one thing I certainly will be working on when I'm not the mayor, although I've been working on it while being mayor also. But the Community Foundation is the one that's proposing this project. The budget, by the way, is 9 to 18 million, so I'm in hopes that we'll have somewhere close to the lower figure. But what we're looking for is the fact that we would look to private grants. There's some over 3,000 grant sources available. We have already formed our San Luis Obispo Community Foundation, and it has received its tax status as tax exempt. People can make donations. So it'll either be through those private sources and or jointly with a bond issue. There's a number of different ways to work it. But the ultimate goal is to have that community center, and this city really needs it, and I hope that everyone would support that 100%.
Okay, why don't you just explain for our viewers who aren't who aren't informed about the Civic Center, just what it would entail.
Okay, the anticipated project, as announced last week by Brian Duvall, who is our executive secretary, is one that would have three buildings. One building would be a large auditorium seat up to around 2,000, a smaller auditorium which 300 to 500 people, then a multi-purpose room, which could seat up to 1,000 people for a sit-down dinner, also with partitionings for many conventions and these kinds of things. But what this community really needs is a facility where it can be that the many, many organizations that now have to look either to Cuesta College and or to Cal Poly to use their facilities with the thought that it's in competition possibly with student use and or the very limited facilities within the city, and a community of this magnitude and of this educational background, the need for us to have a community center is just long overdue. And I'm really excited about it, and I hope that we can see it started within the near future.
Okay, does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, thank you. The reason I asked was because they were cutting down a little bit on the budget of the schools, and they're kind of shortchanging the students.
You feel they're shifting their interests? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. For example, the sports, they're planning on cutting down the sports, and I figured the school is a little bit more important than some other things. And
right.
I'm just wondering what was going to happen in the future about the schools, if they're ever going to go down the drain or what.
Well, we have one of the best school districts in the state, and it's under excellent leadership and an outstanding school board. I think you're in good hands. We lived here and then moved away and moved back primarily because we love this school system, and I think you should be very proud of it and support their decisions 100%.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye-bye. We have another caller on the line. I'd like to get to that caller. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I would like to ask Mayor Cooper if he feels that he's enjoyed his experience. Maybe he could share with us if he's really enjoyed his experience being mayor of our town, and if he finds that everybody in the council is really concerned about the equity and the aesthetic value of the town and the conditions here. Does he feel there's a sincere participation and concern with the his fellow mates, as you might say?
Mayor Cooper?
Yes, I really feel that there is. As I indicated earlier on the program, you know, it's there's going to be times of disagreement, but by the same token, we really, everyone's on that council, you know, lives in this community, they like it, they have children, whatever the case might be, and even though you might read in the paper something that you'd think that, well, maybe they're all they want to do is build and add more housing so they can make more money and these kinds of things, that's not really the goal. And that council, this council, has worked very hard in that direction. It's sometimes, you know, what you see happening, you'd wonder, well, how could someone vote in total disagreement to someone you're sitting right next to? How could they really openly then come to the next issue and say, okay, well, let's weigh that issue on its merit? But I think it's because of the professionalism that exists within those members of the council.
So in essence, you really feel there's no backstabbing or nothing, you know, as far as, well, we really don't care for him, let's get him off the council or anything like that at all?
Well, I'm not so naive to think that maybe it's not all, you know, peaches and cream, and I think maybe the caller is kind of indicating this to a certain degree. But by the same token, I really feel that they have had the professional approach, and I've been very pleased to serve with all five of them, and the other four, I should say, and it's something that I'll certainly long remember.
Okay. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yeah, I have one more question.
Okay.
I agree with the mayor fully. I think that a great responsible group, and I listen to the council meeting quite frequently, and I listen to all the back and forth, and it does seem like it's a very responsible group of people. I'm glad that we get the opportunity to listen to it, too, if we choose to. Well, the other question is, Mary, do you support and do you feel that there should be a little more aggressive approach to having a little more adult recreation facilities, a little more emphasis put on this towards the community? There's a lot of adults that get off work at 5 o'clock and that, and there's just, you know, it'd be nice to have some more recreation facilities, some more lighted facilities for the adult community.
Well, I'm a very strong supporter of that. Of course, you know, like we have 2,700 baseball players. We've just lighted the softball diamond. You know, the needs continue on. And I really feel that it is important that we have things in the evening particularly for the adults to be able to participate in. Our Senshimer swimming pool is just busy from 6 in the morning till 10 at night. You know, we could probably build another pool right alongside of it and have, we had over 60,000 in attendance last year at that pool. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on, but there, by the same token, there's a limited amount of budget and a limited amount of financing. The other thing is that there are many people who want to participate in these activities are willing to pay for it. And I feel that maybe if we looked into that area, we could, in fact, jointly with their participation, help to support more programs along those lines.
What kind of programs would you like to see implemented?
Well, you know, you're limited, obviously, on what you can do. The lighted tennis courts at the high school now, although that's certainly not a city project, you know, it's almost difficult to even get on the courts at night. Mm-hmm. There's certainly an indication that if we had more lighted tennis courts, that would be, you know, one area. The softball diamonds are just all used to great extent. We need probably two or three more softball diamonds. And even such things as a place to run, you know, they could be very minor and not be real expensive and yet afford opportunities for people to exercise.
Okay. Does that answer your question, caller?
It does. And I think we've had a good experience with the mayor, too. I think he's a healthy person. He's a constructive mind and appreciate having been in the community while he's been here.
Well, thank you for your comment.
Yeah, thank
bye-bye.
You.
Okay, bye-bye. We have another caller on the line. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I have a question concerning the Planning Commission's recent decision to annex 23 acres on Lower San Luis Mountain for residential home sites. Do you think that this is going to be a precedent set for the rest of the our peaks and our mountains?
Okay, kind of a little bit of area of clarification. Number one, in essence, it was not an annexation. It was already within the city limits. It was just a matter of them making a determination on what the zoning should be and as far as the use of the land. So, therefore, there's not going to be the allowed expansion beyond this. That's the extent of it, unless the people vote to annex it. And pursuant to Measure G, which passed a few years ago, if any additional expansion was to be allowed, it'd have to go to a vote of the people, although that's being now tested in the courts and might prove to be fined that it's unconstitutional. However, the concerns, when you look at annexing or, in essence, rezoning 23 acres for possible residential use, you look at the number of homes that would be allowed there. It's going to be extremely restrictive, and it probably will be one of the nicest additions in this community. And I feel in the future you'll look up there and you'll see something you'll be very proud of.
Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, except my only feeling is that once we begin building on a certain level, then there's no stopping. You know, there's no basis for an argument to you know, stop the next time around when someone wants to build just a little bit higher and a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. It deals primarily, too, with the water service capabilities. There's a limit on how high you can go predicated on the water service ability.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break right now, but I'd like this caller who's on the line to stay on the phone and wait just a few minutes when we come back. This will be our final break of the evening. You have about 10 more minutes to call in and ask Mayor Lynn Cooper a question. If you'd like to do so, the number here is 544-4640. We'll be back right after this.
Christmas is the time for giving and enjoying, not for taking chances with your family's safety. Often too many power cords are plugged into one receptacle and overload the circuit. Light strings are used on a metal tree, or perhaps an extension cord meant for use indoors is used outdoors. These are all bad risk situations. Why take chances around what should be a happy time of the year? Underwriters Laboratories and KCPR urges you to be extra careful with electricity around the holidays.
We live in an age of scarce energy sources, but it's good to know that one fuel is growing to meet the demand. Wood is renewable, and that makes it special. To keep it from growing scarce, we need to use forests wisely. You can help. Check with your local forester to learn what, where, and how much firewood to cut. Your forester will tell you how to cut firewood today with tomorrow in mind. a wood energy idea from this station and the Forest Service.
Welcome back to Open Channel. I'm Susan Mee, your host, and tonight our guest is San Luis Obispo Mayor Lynn Cooper. If you'd like to call in and ask him a question, you have, well, about 9 or 10 minutes to do so. The number here is 544-4640. We'll be on to just before 7, so now is the time to call. Right now, we do have a caller on the line. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. I'd like to first say that I commend the mayor and the councilman for the good and responsible job that I think they're doing. Although I don't agree with everything all the time, I think that they're putting in a lot of effort. But I had a question that pertained to some of the irresponsible and disruptive antics that have occurred lately at some of the council meetings by certain individuals, and I think Mr. Schumann more than anyone else, and what the mayor's opinion is of that sort of activity at the city council meetings and how that might be remedied.
Well, you know, there's no easy solution to it, but by the same token, I would hope that that if, you know, someone has a position to present, that they can do it in a professional manner and not disrupt the meetings. There's a lot of people that would like to have the opportunity to mention things to us and so forth, and by virtue of the others who dominate the conversation and dominate the time element that we have there, which is very limited, it ends up interrupting, that thought process. The other thing is that we have handled around 800 agenda items just this last year, so you can see that there's really a lot of things go on and a lot of issues to be addressed, and when you constantly have people there that are, spending 20 or 30 minutes just talking about maybe their own political philosophies or, their disagreement with you or whatever, or one of the members of the council, it makes our job that much more difficult. I would really hope that it doesn't continue. And I don't know of any easy solution to resolving it beyond that.
Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, it does. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Thank you for calling. We spoke a little bit earlier, and I think some of our callers had some feelings regarding the use of land and, in essence, property rights. Do you feel that property rights are more a community interest or a private interest?
Oh, I'm a strong believer in the private property rights, there is, certain trends in this day and age for such terms as stewardship and such terms as, you as the property owner just have it subject to everyone else's rights. But I disagree with that. I come from maybe an older school of philosophy, and that is that most people work a long time to acquire an interest in real property. There are certain limitations with which they can use that property, certain covenants, conditions, and restrictions that run with the property to protect the owners. There are other zoning conditions that run with it. There are probably more and more conditions placed on real property than any other thing in our lifestyle. So when people say that, the city should be able to tell you everything you can do with it, I disagree with that totally. I feel that you should have those rights as specified, and you should be able to hopefully do with it as long as it falls within the guidelines of the zoning and the covenants and conditions that run with the land.
So you do agree that there should be some guidelines for environment protection, things like that?
Oh, you bet. You have to meet a happy road, and those of us who believe strongly in the private property rights maybe weigh the spectrum a little heavier the other side, but by the same token, we are the ones that generally end up compromising rather than the other positions being compromised towards the rights of the private property. And I would just hope that, when things continue that, for example, the next council or whether it be the Board of Supervisors of the state legislature, that they really look, towards an area of compatibility, because I feel it's vitally important. It's important that we, really look to protect these rights, and by the same token, make this a nice country to live in.
Okay, thank you. There's some talk right now that some municipal employees are interested in forming a labor union. Do you feel that they should be able to do this?
Well, the city employees of the city of San Luis Obispo, if that's their decision, I think they certainly have the right to do it as long as it meets all the guidelines as the legal ramifications. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, we really, meaning this council, I feel has treated our city employees extremely well as far as salaries, other fringe benefits. We've just gone overboard. And by the same token, we really get what we pay for, because, in fact, we have outstanding employees. It's really rewarding to me to to see the caliber of work that's produced, to see the magnitude, whether it be someone that's in charge of painting the streets or whether it's someone downstairs making a decision on a planning call or whether it's someone at the fire department or the police department. I'm always very proud to be associated with the caliber of employees we have. If, in fact, it is their desire to form a union, I really would feel that more than likely they should spend some time and analyze it accurately, but more than likely they probably have a fairly ideal situation right now.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel that the formation of a union would kind of strain relations?
Well, it would make the area of negotiations probably a little more difficult each time mm-hmm. that the salary negotiations come up. I would really hope that we could continue with the relationship we have recently, and during my regime as mayor, we've now adjusted the salary negotiations, so one came up in 6 months, one in a year, and one in 2 years, so that they're staggered, not all negotiated at the same time, affording the employees, organizations the opportunity to meet with us on an individual basis without having the pressures of knowing that we had to negotiate with one of the other groups at the same time. There are many things that have happened, and I feel that we're taking very good care of our employees and would hope that they could continue in the same light that we have in the past.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left. I believe we have a caller on the line right now. I'm going to get to that caller. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment? Hello?
Yes, I do. I was interested in asking Mayor Cooper if, or rather since there's been two reports relating to the city planning staff, or rather I understand two negative reports, what is going to actually happen about that?
Well, I was gone and just received my report, the second report today. I've not had an opportunity to read it. I would certainly hope that the council will review both reports, then look to the city administrator to accurately analyze it and come back to the council with his recommendations. It is something that is of concern to all of us. By the same token, it's a very hot political issue, will be that. By the same token, I think it's important that we have an efficient operation and let us have the opportunity to let an independent company analyze it and let us know how they feel it should be run.
Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, I believe it does, although I'm still curious as if this would come to a head prior to the election.
I feel that the city administrator will be coming back to us real soon with that, and it certainly would be before the March election.
Was the council aware that this report was being prepared?
Yes, we were.
And this was paid with tax dollars, is that correct?
It was a fund that's set aside, you know, just like anything else that's it takes place within the city.
Okay. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling. We have one final caller on the line I'd like to get to. Welcome to Open Channel. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead quickly, please.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to know if the police department has gotten a hold of you to tell you of a small problem. It's at Santa Rosa and Foothill, where San Lucan Church is. People cut through that church's parking lot to make a right turn. And I've been almost killed there a few times. I've seen accidents there on bikes. And I believe something needs to take place. I was told by the police department that nothing could be taking place. Like, they could not give out tickets. And I wonder if you could look at it through your point of view.
Okay, we only have a couple seconds to answer that. Number one, we have a traffic engineer that could certainly analyze it. And my recommendation would be that tomorrow you contact the traffic engineer at City Hall, 541-1000, mention him the problem, and tell him that you were on this program last night and would like some input as to what can be done. And I think that something can be analyzed because we want the safety of the citizens within this community fully protected.
Thank you for calling, caller. I don't mean to cut you off, but we're run out of time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mayor, thank you for joining us on Open Channel. Unfortunately, we really don't have too much more time to go into any depth, but I think we've had a productive talk show, and I think that San Luis Obispo citizens and Cal Poly students are interested in what you had to say and what's going on. Next week on Open Channel, I'll be having no show, but as far as the first week of school, we will be back. I will be having then ASI President Willie Huff. He will be making a return appearance and will be from now on making a quarterly appearance on Open Channel, so you can call in and ask him views on various subjects of Cal Poly and ASI. I'm Susan Mee, your host. Thank you for joining us.